steward, are we? When it's our turn to stand before the Lord, don't you and I want to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and we could even put that word steward in there. Now, being a servant of a steward of the Lord is not always an easy business. Our text this morning really revolves around the lives of two stewards. Now, these names are so close together, I have to say up front, I'm praying right now that I don't get them all mixed up in the message. It is a bit challenging. But it comes from the two stewards of Elijah and Elisha. I'll do my best to make it clear, but you follow along. From 1 Kings 19, just a little background though, the prophet Elijah was a faithful servant of God. He lived in a time when the nation was in bad straits. We know what that feels like. It had fallen into idolatry for the most part. Not everyone. There were still servants of God that we could find throughout the country, but the majority of the country had turned their back on God. Elijah had had enough, and there was a big showdown at Mount Carmel, remember, with the king and also with the people. And there were prophets of Baal that were there, 450 of them. They were supposed to be followers of God, but they followed after Baal. And that's when Elijah made his famous statement. He said, "How long will you go on limping between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." And then they have their big showdown. Well, when it's all over, when the dust settles, we have the one true God of heaven and earth standing alone as victor over all the false prophets of Baal. And not only that, but there was a tough consequence to following after a wrong God, and that is that those prophets were sent to their deaths. And thus is the end of all people who would turn their back on the living God. In the end, they die. Now, we read about these great men and women of faith, such as Elijah here, and we're simply amazed. Sometimes we look at them as being superhumans, but they're just human. If you read on to the next passage, Elijah gets threatened by Jezebel, and he runs like a scared chicken into a cave. And there, God does not lecture him, does not give him some kind of seminar that he has to go to and attend to kind of pump him up. He gives him rest. He gives him food. He gives him words of encouragement. And even though his life is threatened, the Lord continues to encourage him. And it's interesting that in this encouragement, he gives him something to do. Some instructions. Now, part of those instructions fall into what we're going to be talking about today. He's instructed to go find a young man by the name of Elisha. And he tells him, "I want you to go, and I want you to make this guy your replacement. He's going to take your place. You need to train him up. And so you need to go do that when you're done." And this is the background of our message today. We have Elijah coming to look out and tap Elisha on the shoulder and bring him along. And that's where we want to turn our focus now, is more on Elisha, God's steward. God's steward. There are three musts from our passage this morning if you and I want to be good stewards of God. If you and I want to stand and hear those words the Lord say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, thou good and faithful steward." Three must. Let's read this passage now from 1 Kings 19. It says, "So he," that is Elijah, "departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him, and was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and cast his cloak upon him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, 'Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you.' And he said to him, 'Go back again, for what have I done to you?' And he returned from following him and took the yoke of the oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the yokes of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. And then he arose And he went after Elijah and assisted him. All of us are stewards. What kind of stewards are we? Elijah's no different. We just find him here plowing away. But we can deduce a few things about him. He must have come from a wealthy family with the 12 yoke of oxen there. And they must have had some land that they were able to care for. And his attitude and his actions towards what Elijah said to him really lay the groundwork for those three musts. And here's the first one. The first must of a good steward is that a good steward of God must be faithful to what God has for him now, right now. You must be faithful to what God has for you now. We don't really have any other background here other than the background of simply what he does in serving his family. We know very little about Elisha. Now, all we can discover is that he was busy at work and that he was faithful to doing his family's business. He's not really well known. He's not a great prophet at the time. No one knows really who he is, probably just some folks in the area there. He's just plowing a field. He's faithful to do what God had called him to do at that time in his life. Now, unfortunately, we have a comparison of someone who was in a similar situation but had a different response. The prodigal son came from a well-to-do family as well, but he looked at the grass that was greener on the other side. Didn't want to stay faithful just to what was in front of him until God had moved him along. He wanted to go somewhere he was not. We don't find Elisha like that. Elisha's just simply busy working, just a hard-working guy and getting things done. In Ecclesiastes 9:10, there's a great verse that says this: whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. I love that verse. Philip Ryken has a great commentary on it, and he says this, and I quote, "The point of this verse is not that we should work randomly or do whatever we please. Rather, in the course of God's providence, some things lie in the path of duty. Things that are pleasing to God. But we can only do what God has given us to do." End of quote. The great preacher Charles Spurgeon told the story of a young man that he had come across after hearing one of his sermons. Said, boy, how he had just dreamed of, he just really dreamed of standing under a banyan tree and preaching eloquent sermons to the people in India. Well, this called Spurgeon to respond, "My dear fellow, why don't you try the streets of London first and see where you are eloquent there?" You and I need to be faithful doing what God has called us to do now. You preach in India? You want to be a great doctor and cure disease? It all sounds great. But are you faithful to your place of servants now, even if that means it's nothing more than plowing? Sometimes we feel that way in the jobs we're in or the places in life we're in. I'm just plowing a field. This isn't doing any good. I'm wasting my life. Let me remind you, God knows your address, and he sees your faithful work to what you are doing now. Are you walking with God now? Are you faithful to the plow that God has given you now? Whatever it is, are you now sharing with Christ while you plow the field? What will God find when he comes calling on you and me to do something else? So a good steward must be what? Faithful to what the master has called you to do right now, whatever that is. Second, a good steward must be ready to answer the master's call. Notice that our text says that Elisha was ready to go the moment Elijah passed by him and cast his cloak upon him. And he said these words. He said that he left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Now, there's some strange language after that. And if you get into it and study a little bit of the time in the text, he's not trying to come up with an excuse not to follow Elijah at all. In fact, his actions prove the opposite. He simply wanted to communicate to his parents what he was doing, for all we know, to get them to be prayer partners with him. And what did he do to make sure that he wasn't going to go back to the plowing? He burned the plows, killed the oxen, sacrificed them to the Lord, invited everyone in to enjoy his commissioning service, maybe, that he had right there in the middle of the field. I just think that's a great, great answer. He was ready to answer the master's call immediately. There have been times when I've asked people, and maybe some of you have experienced this, to do a service for God, whatever that might be. It could be something that has a short commitment cycle to it. It could be something that might be a little bit longer. And, you know, you have all kinds of responses. I just want to focus, though, on the folks that kind of say, well, I don't know if that's my gift. Or I'm not sure if I could commit that much time to it. Or I don't know about this. Let me pray about it. I don't find Elisha praying about anything here. The prophet of the Lord came, tapped him on his shoulder. He was ready to go when God called him to go. God will let you know when it's the right thing to do. We don't just jump at everything someone says to us. I get that. But is your heart ready, and are you ready, or do you hesitate? Let me just give you maybe a little bit better picture of what that might look like to us, help us understand. And I thought of our heroes, those first responders. Think about them, right? So here are some folks, no matter where they are, maybe at their place of work, whether it's a firefighter or a police officer, or, you know, it could be an EMT or a paramedic or a doctor, whatever, okay? Those first responders. Okay, they might be at work, but oftentimes these folks could be at home. They could be somewhere else with family doing something else. But when the call comes, guess who comes running? First responders. They don't think about, well, that's not my day to work. I'm sorry. I know that you're in need, but I'm just really tired. Or, you know, that's really not my gift. I just turn the water on. I don't hold the hose. We come up with all these things, but that's not what first responders do. They're committed to their community, and they're committed to answering the call. They're willing. There are people that are willing to volunteer their time and their talents and their treasures to the Lord, but oftentimes it's only done in the context of convenience. I don't see Elisha doing that. Was it convenient for him to burn the plows and also kill all 12 of those oxen and then have a big party? I'm not sure. His parents might say it was convenient. But he didn't let that stop. I want you to think, in fact, you could turn with me if you like for a moment. Keep your finger in 1 Kings and turn to Matthew chapter 8. We're going to see a really good example of this in the New Testament. Matthew 8 verse 18. Here Jesus is simply demonstrating his authority to ask his servants to come and follow him. And he also kind of challenges them or confronts them when they come up with bad excuses or wrong motives. So I just want to read through this and look at it just for a moment as an example of what Elisha did not do. But here it says in Matthew 8:18, now when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to go over to the other side. And here it comes. A scribe came up and said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." That sounds like Elisha, right? Are y'all excited about that? Now we have insight here that from the Lord that you and I don't have. He's given it to us. And look how he responds to him. He says, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And we'll get to that in a minute. And then another of the disciples, now this is the disciples of Jesus, came to him and said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." Doesn't sound a whole lot different from what Elisha said. I want to say goodbye. And he said to him, follow me and leave the dead to bury their own dead. When I read that, I always go, ouch, every time. Now, you and I don't have the insight the Lord Jesus Christ have. And both these men seem to have an appearance that they want to follow right away, immediately, right? But God has a different view on that. And even though one was a little bit more enthusiastic, both did not really have a desire to go ready to follow. They wanted to follow Jesus their way, their timing, under their rules. Let me do this way. The first guy, okay, the only thing you could get to is the response that Jesus gave to them about foxes not having places and birds of the air have nests and the Son of Man doesn't have anywhere to lay his head. Is this guy, you're not going to get anything positive or great or awesome out of this connection with me. Earthly wise, if that's what you're thinking, hanging around with a popular teacher thinks it's going to benefit you. It's not what's going to happen. And with the second guy, the father wasn't going to die. It was simply when my dad dies, which could be 30 years from now, I'll come and follow you. Seemed like maybe he was being a loyal son, but he wasn't. He wasn't at all. So here we have simply Jesus being blunt to him, saying, look, your priority is to the master first. Not to family and friends and your desires, it's to God. But Elisha here, back to 1 Kings, provides us with a very good example for us that prepares us for the Master's calling by never allowing anything to get in the way of his call. The oxen, were they important to the family business? Yeah. It's like having John Deere tractors, okay? It's kind of important. Plows, yeah, important part of the family business. Even the Lord would consider them important for, you know, caring for your family and community. But no person, no job, no equipment, no personal desire can rate higher than God's calling. And I just wonder, when I was thinking about this, what are the oxen and the plows in our lives? What are the things that we're investing our time and our effort into? I'm not saying they're bad, but have we put more energy and more commitment into that plow than we do dropping everything and following the master? Jim Elliot said it well. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Are you ready at a moment's notice right now to answer the master's call? I remember as a young man saying, Lord, man, I'm ready for you to come back, Lord, but can I get married first? Someone that back there must be laughing, I'm sure, right? Or Lord, I'm ready for you to come, but can we have our first child first? Or Lord, I'm ready to do this, but then we list something. And I know what you mean by that, because I've been there. We're not telling the Lord, I don't want to follow you, but there just seems to be a plow in the way. And I think God, to be a good steward, we can't let those good things that we are doing with our hands get in the way of God's call in our life. He may call you now to get rid of that plow and give you another one. Or he may have you plowing for a long time. The question is, are you ready to answer the master's call? A good steward must be faithful to what the master has you doing right now. And a good steward must be ready to answer the master's call. And our third thing is simply this, that a good steward must be willing to follow the master's leading. Look at the last sentence. Then he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him. This is significant. What I think what most of us like about this sentence right up front, just the first reading, is that Elisha is a man of action. I mean, we all got to have our meetings, right? We need one more meeting, don't we? We like to have our plans, but I think most of us like it when we get out and we do it. We do something rather than just talk about doing it. We do it. Elisha seems to be that kind of a guy. But notice, really, the emphasis was on Elisha's willingness to follow. To follow. There's an old saying when I was growing up, there are too many chiefs and not enough Indians in this room. Right? Yeah. A lot of people are willing to give their two cents on everything. They're willing to tell everyone else what's wrong with everything and how everything else needs to be done. Maybe you know a few like that. But when it comes time to service, you don't always find these people serving. They just like to tell how it ought to be done. And then there are those that do serve and like to tell you how to be it done. And I'm not talking just about church. I'm talking about anything. So they have a hard time just following. It's that American, I could do it myself, independent attitude. I just don't want, I've got a better idea than you do. Now, believe it or not, the secular world knows this very well, and they kind of mold their directions and on their labels to help with people that aren't very good at following directions. Here are a few examples that I love about how the secular world understands its principles of people just not wanting to listen and follow, but they have to be real clear about their products. So here are some funny things here, just three of them. One is on a Sears hair dryer. It says, do not use while sleeping. Do you really have to have that on there? But apparently there must be enough people that don't want to read through. You know, it's a small font, right? You open it up, there's 12 pages and 12 languages. And they don't want to read it, so they put what's really important on there. Apparently it must be in the instructions. Do not use while sleeping. Here's one on an iron. Do not iron the clothes while on your body. I've never read that, but apparently it's on packaging for a Rowenta iron. Here's one about a child. I love this one. We'll end with this one. A child's Superman costume. All right? This is for a child. A Superman costume. Do you really think you have to say this? But maybe you do. Wearing of this garment does not enable you to fly. You know, good stewards don't ignore God's directions. They don't make up their own rules, but they are willing to follow after the Lord. And Elisha here was simply willing, hey, I'm ready to go. Okay, I'm going to follow you, Elijah, and I'm going to assist you. That's a good attitude to have, a good spirit to have. He was faithful. You know, he was ready and he was willing to do whatever the Lord had him to do. I'd like to end by just telling you about someone most of you know very well, just a moment, of a very good steward by the name of Paul Plum. Paul was a great steward of God's gift, wasn't he? All his life, despite any human successes, all the times that I've known him and have talked to those who've known him a lot longer, he always made Christ the priority in his stewardship. And I imagine in his good years of health, but we know through the tough years of poor health, Paul was serving. I could bring Amber up here. I'm not going to make her do that. But there were times when he didn't feel good at all and came anyway. Just wanting to serve. Never made an excuse. I mean, he was out in the community too. It wasn't just here at Bible Baptist Church. You could find him doing things all throughout Kokomo. He didn't feel good, but he felt that call. It was more important than his own physical health. Just 2 days ago, I talked to Paul on the phone. And by the way, he tried to call me once or twice, and my mailbox is full. And for all you 30 people that have left messages to my mailbox being full, I apologize. But I finally got a hold of him and talked to him. And do you know what he was looking forward to the most? After getting home, of course, and seeing Sherry, he said, "I can't wait to get back to teach the children." That's what he wanted to do. I don't know when or where his calling was, but I can't imagine it wasn't similar to Elisha. Somewhere along the way, God got a hold of his heart. He trusted Christ as his Savior, which is our first step in being a steward. And then I think it was just simply God tapped him on the shoulder, and he had already been faithful to whatever he was doing. God changed his heart, and he became faithful to the Lord. He was ready when God called him, and he jumped up and ran and said, "Lord, I'll serve you. I'll serve you all my life." And I would say that's pretty much what he did to this very last breath. Well done, good and faithful steward. Where are you at today? Where am I today? The story of Elisha kind of is a foundation for stewardship. Are you a steward of convenience? I hope not. Or are you a steward of conviction? Faithful, ready, and willing to follow the Master's leading. Would you bow with me, please, and let's just take a moment to reflect and ask the Lord what He would have us to do with His calling on our life. There might be someone under the listening of my voice that has not trusted in the Master, that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I would simply call to you and say, God is tapping you on the shoulder now. God loved you so much, He sent His one and only Son, Christ, to die on the cross for your sins and mine, and He rose again. And whoever believes that his trust in Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what He has done, not what you do, what He has done, He is the Savior, trusting in Him as Savior, shall have eternal life. Will you give your life to Christ? And you, servant of God, the Lord Jesus is tapping you and me on the shoulder today. He has brought us into 2021. And I would pray that all of us would be ready, willing, and faithful, serving the Lord this year. Father, now I pray as we close our time that like Elisha, we would be found faithful doing what you've called us to do now and ready to answer the call and willing to go where you call us. In Jesus' name, amen.